This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Cameroon and Brazil. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Welcome back, everyone, to the FIFA Insight Live podcast, where we have just watched Brazil qualify for the round of 16, but Cameroon victorious on the night. With us tonight is Sundi Alise, Mr. Alberto Zaccaroni, Farid Mondragon, FIFA's Chris Loxton, Harry Lowe, and myself, Mark Roberts. So before tonight, Brazil had not conceded a shot on target in the competition, and it took until just before half-time for this to be broken, but it got even better for Cameroon with a late winning goal. Harry, just to start, framing this conversation, this week at our technical study group press conference, Alberto discussed the use of five substitutions and the depth of squads. What can you tell us about how teams have managed their squads so far?
Yeah, just looking at Brazil tonight, really. We saw it again with France, but we've seen it again tonight with Brazil, how they've changed their team for the final game in the group and used the majority of their players in the squad. So Brazil actually topped that stat. So a bit of a different stat for us tonight with squad usage. We have Brazil who've used 25 players out of the 26 that are allocated. So a lot of players. They completely changed their team tonight. France are second on that list with 24 players. So, yeah, huge rotation tonight for Brazil. Resting in probably their first 11. May have had an impact on the game slightly, but still, the second team or the second starting 11, let's say, could probably go and win the World Cup themselves. So, yeah, a lot of changes.
And I'd be really interested because France did exactly the same thing against Tunisia the other night and lost 1-0 also. So when we get to Alberto, when we get to Sunday, I'd really be interested to hear their insights on, you know, the actual dynamic of when you change so many players. Can you expect a group that come in, certainly your second starting 11, can you expect them to deliver? Because obviously Brazil and France have not managed to do that.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Chris. And you said it's that balance, I guess, between game time, but also getting that rhythm within the players and the performance as well. Also tonight, this result means no team at this World Cup has collected 9 points from 9. Sunday, can I just get your thoughts on that and I guess how competitive our global game is now getting?
Well, it's at the end of the competition, I think we might find out, we'll be able to be more definitive as regards this trend, but it's beginning to look as if the fact that the World Cup itself just being played in mid-season is having a huge effect on the balance of the teams against one another. And also tactically now, this is one World Cup where I feel that the teams are totally well-rounded now. The teams are not formerly used to have naive teams, especially defensively. Now most of the teams have really, really got a philosophy when it comes to how to defend. So teams can now afford to even play without conceding, with well-made out schemes. So that might be responsible for this.
Very, very interesting trend to keep our eye on. And Alberto, you observed Cameroon for us tonight. What stood out for you?
Cameroon si è disposto con un 4-2-3-1 come nelle partite precedenti. Ha giocato con coraggio.
Well, Cameroon came out with a 4-2-3-1 playing style. They tried to press high. They went physical and they tried to intimidate the opposition with that. And we are able to be competitive thanks to that.
Fabinho hanno messo Anguissa nella zona di Fabinho.
They tried to use Anguissa to negate the effects of Fabinho.
È andato, ha cambiato posizione anche lui per controllare Fabinho. Questa è la scelta del Cameroon. In attacco ha messo gli esterni.
Well, on the wings he played with players that had a left-footed player on the right side and a right-footed player on the left side, trying to bring it to the games to help them to support Abubakar and Thibaut Moutinho.
Abubakar.
He played the left footed on the right and the right foot on the left because he wanted to go through the center instead of going to for crosses from the sides.
Per andare a giocare centralmente, andando a cercare soprattutto Choupo-Moting e Boubacar, invece di andare sul fondo a mettere dei cross. In fase offensiva.
Well, offensively, what they missed was the ability to go penetrating runs.
Alla fine le due squadre.
At the end, the pitch was wide, and then everybody was trying to score, and there was so much space, and Cameroon scored.
Thank you, Alberto. And Sunday, your thoughts on that 90 minutes from Brazil?
Well, Brazil were very impressive the way they started the game. It was very clear that the team had decided to reshuffle to give playing time to everybody in the team. And like Harry stated out, we ended up having almost the whole team having had a taste now. They started with a 4-1-3-2 playing style. They were very, very focused on each time they went into the defense to have the four-man line and have a central defender just in front of them, no matter what happened. So he created like a shelter for them. I think that was to accommodate and to also stop the two strikers that the opposition were playing from dropping into the space in front of the defense line. Further on, this goes to prove what we're trying to analyze in the past as regards the opposition trying to beat the press and go into the zone just in front of the defense. Offensively, what they did that was very impressive was that at times, to really keep the opposition at bay, they pushed up five players on the line just ahead of the defenders, and this made the Cameroonians go back with six. When they attacked, they had a lot of players in front of the ball. There was a lot of movements. There was a lot of third man runs. And they also had inverted players playing the right and the left. But the problem they had was the synchronization of the timing with the pullouts that came from the left and the right and the player who was going to receive them in the middle. Could be because they were not timing it right. Could be also because the opposition were crowding the middle also. But this was very, very good from them. At the second half, we could see that they decided also to play more now into more creative play. A lot of changes were made, players came in, and it kind of looked like it became like a little bit more relaxed at the end-to-end stuff, and they lost. So the team that scores wins.
Farid, some excellent saves from both goalkeepers tonight. Your thoughts on their involvement?
Well, I think it was a great night for goalkeepers, especially goalkeepers that, for example, Ederson had the first chance to appear in the World Cup. And I'm gonna say something with all due respect, but with one performance, I just filled up myself that in this moment Ederson is in a better shape than Alisson. In the first two games, I found Alisson not full of confidence, insecure, doubtful. And today, Ederson, since the first ball he catch, playing with his feet, making a presence, not only it's about character, but physically, I think he's in an extraordinary shape. So there's a tough work now for Tite. I think he will still respect Alisson's position, but at this moment, it's a good thing for a coach that he has top options, but personally I think that Ederson is in a way better shape. And from the side of Epasi, we all know that since last game, Rigor Tsong, the coach from Cameroon, took a disciplinary decision, and then he put him to play. He was the second choice goalkeeper, and he played very, very well today. He made an extraordinary game. Lots of reflexes, lots of agility, making it very, very simple with his ball in his feet, and making two, three saves that are top class, combining technical and personal skills, agility. Agility. I think he deserved the man of the match, and he deserves to go from the World Cup as he's going, with a huge future for the Cameroon goalkeeper place.
There was something very interesting that Farid and I were just signaling. That was the role that the goalkeepers are playing now when it comes into playing out from the back. And I think it's maybe better Farid explains that, because Farid had some good insights about it.
Yeah, I think there are two, three good examples in this World Cup that we can describe, which is the correct way. Obviously, there's a mode, there's a fashion to play from behind, sometimes exaggerated, like we saw yesterday with Unai Simón. And this is not only risky, but this is instead of giving a potential boost up for your team, it gives the boost up for the rivals, and instead of giving you a solution, it makes put your team in a very bad position and in a bad situation. So Ederson is a perfect example of the way you have to do things with quality, with a lot of caution, with a lot of responsibility, but in a high top class manner. You know, the way he hits the ball, very low, on behind. Every ball he is playing, it has a lot of technique and precision. And with these balls, for the player who is receiving the ball, the best thing as a goalkeeper you can give is precision. So he just has to control the ball in one touch and then continue playing under pressure.
But what else I like very much about him is the fact that, if I may come in, sorry, is the fact that the way he plays, if you're a coach, no matter the style of play you want to play, with Ederson, I think you can play. If you decide that, okay, I want my goalkeepers to build out from the back, you can always play. If you say, I want my goalkeeper to play short, he can play short. If I want my goalkeeper to play long balls, and, you know, and it's difficult to press high against the team that has Ederson, because I don't know what you think about that, Farid.
You're right. You're totally right, and it's not difficult. It's almost impossible, because the goalkeeper, it's the only player who's every time is going to be free, you know, and that's a huge advantage if you know how to use it, if you have a proper goalkeeper who has the correct reading lecture of the game, and he knows exactly at what time he can use this powerful tool. But again, at what time this tool can go against you, and you can provoke a very risky, unpleasant situation.
Because there was a situation that really impressed me the most, was that the Cameroonians tried to put the pressure up, and the Brazilian strikers just went up far away, and Ederson hit a perfect ball that made almost 70 meters and dropped, and almost it became a goal-scoring chance. And, you know, as a coach, this must be great to have a goalkeeper.
Precision
and power.
Power. This is the thing that is the most...
It's like we planned it, man.
One of the most difficult things you can combine in football, especially when goalkeepers are delivering the ball from so far away or behind.
A great conversation. I think that one, Sunday, and there's the one in the first half, Farid, as well, where I think he received outside the box. He broke the two lines into the midfielder, and Brazil were out. And I guess those two examples alone summarise, I guess, what you were having the conversation about as well.
Yeah, and giving a pass through the line with so much pace and so much precision as any good central defender or any good midfielder can deliver. So that was top class.
Ah, great. And good question as well, Sunday, as well. We're on the same wavelength. That was the same question I was going to ask as well.
No, it's because, he's the goalkeeper expert, and we discussed it during the game. So I think it's good for us to share it with our viewers.
Perfect. And Chris, that's the groups now complete. How would you, I guess, summarise what we've seen so far?
Well, I think the goal tonight from Aboubakar summarises everything. Again, coming from a cross, we're seeing around a third of the goals at the moment coming from crosses. Final third entries into the wide channels, obviously that's helping with that crossing number as well. Again, in this game tonight, we saw many of the themes we've seen over the last 48 games. So lofted balls, beating the high press, Cameroon counter-pressing the ball to get the ball back. So we're seeing the recovery time down low as well. So, I think many of the themes are coming through. We've seen 75% of the games in the tournament now already, so we're not necessarily expecting to see new trends, new themes coming through. It's probably just higher quality games with higher quality teams. And, you know, now we're into the business end of the tournament. We're looking to see the exciting football that we have ahead of us. But 48 games in 13 days. I think between us, we've seen around 25 games each. And fortunately, we've had a car taking us between those games to get us around. But yeah, unbelievable start to this World Cup. And I think we're all very excited to see what's to come.
Oh, thank you, Chris, and a great summary. And I guess now the round of 16 is complete. Sunday, we'll have Brazil up against Korea Republic. Just your thoughts on that fixture.
Well, this is going to be a very exciting game. And it's like Chris was trying to point out, as regards the business end of the competition, this is now when teams will now start looking back at using the games the opposition played before as a way to scout how the team is going to play. And from what the world saw just yesterday when Spain took on Japan, I am not expecting the Brazilians to go and tiki-taka their way all through against South Koreans. I believe it's going to be a highly physical game coming from the South Koreans. And this Brazilian team impresses me with something. They are tactically well-rounded. In today's game, I saw them change formations on several locations, and they did it very well, with ease. So it's not as if it's something they started doing now. So for that reason, I am expecting a highly interesting game coming up.
Thank you. And as Farid touched on as well, a tough choice for Tite as well to make in terms of the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think he will respect Alisson, you know. But it's good for him to know also that Ederson is in a unbelievable form. And for us, it's easy to bring up the question. But, you know, when you have someone like Alisson who has been the first choice for so much time, I think the normal thing is going to be to respect it.
And a fantastic option to have as well. And thank you as always, everyone. Well, on a day when we completed our round of 16 fixtures with every confederation represented, highlighting that football is truly global. The fun continues tomorrow as knockout football arrives. As always, from myself, Sunday, Alberto, Farid, Chris and Harry, thank you for listening and we'll see you again tomorrow.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.